Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 76 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And in this episode, I had the honor of talking to Pat Sharp. She's an executive editor and food writer for Texas Monthly Magazine. She's been there since 1974. Just a wealth of knowledge. It's so interesting to see kind of her career path, but then also talk about the different barbecue editions. At the end, I call her back again because she has a copy of the sheet that they use to figure out the criteria for the specific restaurants so that they're all on the same page. It's fascinating. I know you're gonna love it. One quick note, this was originally done as a Skype interview with video, and Pat does show a number of issues of Texas Monthly Magazine, the barbecue editions, the old ones, which are really cool. You can see those on my YouTube channel at youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints. But I didn't want to take them out of this because there's a lot of context and a lot of things that she talks about beyond just showing the photos. So I think it's important to keep those in. So if you do want to check out what she is showing, you can go to my YouTube channel and check those out. If you're liking these, please subscribe. That way you can get all the back episodes. I have a YouTube channel at youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints. I also have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com. But enjoy this. We could start with that one.
Yes, we definitely need to start with this one.
Oh, I just love that. I think it was in the dark last time. I couldn't see that. That is the very first. Is that the first issue or the very first barbecue issue?
This is the very first barbecue issue. This actually is the second issue of the magazine.
Okay.
That we ever did. The third. The magazine started in February 1973.
Okay.
And this issue is April 1973.
Oh, man.
And the story is called Spilling the Beans on Texas Barbecue. And it has a woman eating it's like a brisket sandwich.
It is a brisket sandwich.
I need to hold it up again.
Yeah, can you hold it up one more time? Yeah, now that you've said that, people can kind of see that that is a brisket sandwich. Do you remember that? You were there at the time, right?
I didn't start until about a year and a half later.
Oh, a year and a half later. Okay, okay.
Yeah.
So you weren't there for that photo shoot.
I was not there for that photo shoot. Probably that is somebody that we knew because we had so little operating capital at the time that every photo that we shot, if somebody from the magazine could be in it and we didn't have to pay a model, but we did. Everybody's kids were in and their parents and us.
So she might have been paid in a brisket sandwich. You think that could have been possibly what she got?
That was her fee, yes.
Other than her salary that maybe she got for the magazine.
Yeah, unless she was somebody's sister, and then who knows?
That's true. That is true. Wow. So what's your background prior to Texas Monthly, to coming on board with Texas Monthly?
You know, my journalism background was that I went to the University of Texas, and I worked on the Daily Texan. So I wrote movie reviews and wrote whatever general assignments they had. And we went out to eat Uncle Van's Pancake House, and that was about it. I didn't. And then I worked for, I taught school for a year, Spanish and English.
Oh, wow.
Right out of school, right out of the university. And then I worked for the state writing historical markers for about 6 years.
What does that entail?
That entails going to the state archives and reading a bunch of scholarly articles. Okay. And then it's like writing, if it's a big marker and it has, say, 25 lines, it's like writing a 25-line headline because every line has to fit within, you know, two or three characters because they have to look right.
Did you enjoy that?
I did. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, sounds like fun.
Yeah, no, it was fun. And when your words are preserved in cast aluminum, well, they're there forever.
Ah, do you see them still to this day?
There's one right down the street.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
I'll have to, it doesn't have your name though on it, right?
No, we didn't get bylines.
Okay, excellent. So, but you were born in Texas?
I was not. I was born in Lisbon, Portugal.
Okay.
And my dad was in the diplomatic service during the war, and my parents lived there for 2 or 3 years.
Oh.
And then we came back. But my parents are both from Texas.
Okay.
And we came back ultimately to Austin. Oh. And I've been in Austin since I was 3.
Wow. So you've seen Austin grow and change and evolve.
Completely. Yeah. No, it wasn't a small town, but it was a medium-sized town. And you know, my dad walked to work at the University of Texas where he taught in the journalism school. And, it was a little place. It was a a very small homey town.
Do you remember applying to Texas Monthly, and were you was that something that was on your radar that this was a magazine I wanted to work for, or did you put your feelers out to a number of places?
I was dying to work for Texas Monthly. I saw the issues and I thought they were smart. I thought they were hilarious. I loved the covers. They were so, I don't know, they were just funny. And I thought, okay, I'm going to work there because I'd had it with the state. And I started leaving applications and sending applications. And I never heard anything back. And so finally, I met somebody who worked there. And when she decided to leave and go on for a different job, she gave me a heads up and she said, okay, here's what you do. So I left an application and got an interview on, and that was in like the fall of 74. And I found out later they were so busy they didn't even interview more than one person.
That's always
Had
nice
no
to know.
competition. I'm not sure what that says. I got the job.
Hey, no, it was meant to be. You could look at it that way.
Apparently so.
And so at the when you applied, and then when you got the job, what were you doing features? Were you doing restaurant reviews at all at the time?
I wasn't. I was hired basically as a gopher. I was an editorial assistant, and I answered the phone, and I typed letters, and I did research. And one of the first things that I ever did was proofread the dining guide and the calendar of events, which was huge back in those days. And I really liked it, and I thought, well, this is almost like getting to go to Dallas and Houston and eat at these restaurants because the reviews were long and the descriptions were great, and it was sort of a window onto a world that seemed very sophisticated to me. I was in Austin, Texas, after all.
Oh, that's so
And
great.
yeah, so they basically just kind of kept, giving me more and more to do, and I eventually took over the whole section.
Wow. And so that was, so you then you took over that section, and were you going outside? You were so then you obviously traveled outside of Austin too, right? For that.
I did, yes. One thing that was great was that the editor of the magazine, he was Bill Broyles at the time, noticed that I was really interested in restaurants and food. And he said, why don't you make this your field of expertise? And we'll pay for you to travel and go visit your restaurant reviewers, because we had a bunch. We had, around probably 20 that were actually reviewing restaurants.
Oh, that's a
And
large amount.
yeah, well, we still have, we have 17 now.
Okay,
So
okay.
it's been pretty stable over the years.
Okay, I wasn't aware that was that many. Okay.
Yeah, now they're all over the state. And so I would go, and they would pay for that, and I would go to the restaurants. And for the longest time, I was just the editor of that section, and we didn't really do that much on barbecue. After this initial article in 1973, we didn't really do anything on barbecue until 1997, and by then I was very much ensconced as the editor of the food coverage, and I was writing some other stories as well. And one of the people on staff was quite he was quite the barbecue expert,
Okay.
Joe Nick Petoskey, and that's two words. That's a good old Texas name. It's Joe Nick Petoskey.
Why do I know that? I know that name. I've heard that. Maybe I'm just through circles and.
He's written books.
Okay.
Yeah, no, he is. Yeah, he's quite well known in Texas. And so he sort of organized that first story that we did, and that was in May 1997. And it was, so Joe Nick recruited me to be on the team of people who went around and ate. And we had a couple of freelance writers named Richard Zelade, that's Zelade, and
Okay.
Jim Shaheen,
Oh
Shahin.
yeah. He's in
And
Washington right now, isn't he?
yeah, but you would, Richard did, he did a guidebook for us on, I'm thinking that Richard did the guidebook for the Texas Hill Country. And Jim Shaheen was a well-known freelance writer. He moved out of state after that, and I believe he may have gone to, seems like he went to Philadelphia. And as I say, I've lost track of him, but he was a great guy.
But I do think he does stuff in Washington or the Washington area, DC area, I think.
The DC area,
I
that
think
makes sense.
so, because I've seen it. I followed him, his work.
So At the time, 1997 was pre-social media. We just asked all our friends, where do you like to eat barbecue? And of course, I had all the reviewers, and they had friends around the state. So, we had a pretty good list to start with. And so we somehow or other, Joe Nick divvied up the state, and we each had our area. And I can remember, I had East Texas, and so I was up there sort of in the Texarkana and Paris, and probably I don't know whether I had Dallas or not, but we'd get up there and we'd have one or two restaurants that we knew about to go to, and then I'd get through eating at one, and I had a list from the Texas Newspaper Association, Texas Press Association, and it had a list of all the newspapers in the state, dailies, weeklies, biweeklies, and I would look up the paper in the next small town, and I would call them from a payphone on the highway. I'd
This is so
have
great.
to speak to the editorial department, and I'd say, where do you guys like to eat barbecue? I'm with Texas Monthly, and we're doing a barbecue story. And they were fabulous. They were thrilled to know that we were interested, that we were in the area. And so they would say, well, we like to go here, we like to go there.
That's great.
I remember calling Kilgore, and that's how I went to that great place that's outside Kilgore. Anyway, so that's that's how it was seat of the pants.
Wow, that's amazing. And at the time, there hadn't been any type of barbecue coverage to that extent, right? No one had come out with any list of Texas barbecue joints, or it wasn't, it was pre-internet, so there was no blogs, or there was nothing.
There were no blogs. I'm sure that every city, I'm sure the Dallas Morning News had done
Like a top five or a, yeah.
their top five, or their 15, or they just done features, and same with the Chronicle, and not so much in San Antonio because I think barbecue caught on a little bit later there. But there's certainly, maybe Texas Highways had something, but I don't think so.
Did Joe Nick give you guys a guideline as to what you were looking for, or was there some, did you guys come up with some sort of plan, kind of like you guys have today, or was it just good barbecue, good restaurant?
I think in 1997, we all had expertise. I was the food editor, or I may not have had that title, but Joe Nick and Jim and Richard, they all knew what they were doing. And it was later that we started having our sort of our tutorials, where we would get the whole staff together and go out to eat at a barbecue place, and then we'd all sit around the table, and Joe Nick would talk about, okay, this is good, this is bad, and sort of train us all. But the very first one, as I say, that was seat of the pants, and we kind of made that one up as we went along.
But it was the basis or the primer for today. You kind of
It was, yeah. This was our big jumping off point into doing. This was the one. This was called the 50 Best Barbecue Joints in Texas, and
Okay, let me see if I know that by that.
as it would happen.
Oh,
You see that?
that's so great.
And
Yeah, let's.
that picture is at Kreitz Market.
Okay.
Back when Kreitz Market was where Smitty's is now, because that's all the same family there in Lockhart. And one thing, and people always say, avocado? Really? Well, back then, yes, you would get avocado and tomatoes, and you get pickles, and you got crackers, and you got white bread, and you got some cheese.
With
I
the
see,
cheese on there? Yeah.
yeah, and a
Cheese,
big
onions.
red, yeah,
The big red, I noticed that in the background, yeah.
And there's actually, I think there's some Tabasco sauce in there, or maybe it's, no, it kind of looks like Tabasco. It's a pretty weathered looking jar.
But when it comes to barbecue, that's a revolutionary photo too. That's a photo that really depicts Texas barbecue at the time, and that's not far off from what people are taking pictures and putting on Instagram these days.
No, it's been very, very stable. It's like the pink or brown butcher paper, whatever you want to call it. And there's a knife in the background. There, if you'll notice, there are no forks, there are no spoons, because that's one of the sort of traits of those places in Lockhart, is that you didn't get forks. you were supposed to eat barbecue with your hands. Or you put it in, you made a sandwich and you ate the sandwich with your hands. And if you needed to cut something up, there was a knife on the table. And I think back in the old days, now this knife doesn't have a string or a rope around it, but back in the old days, the knife was attached to the table so that the
Oh,
customer didn't leave with it.
that's so great. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So, it was, this was when Kreitz was at the Smitty's location, and then they, before they moved, and that was like the his, there's a lot of history involved with that whole, that story. That's a,
There's a whole bunch of history.
the whole
I
story.
mean, family feuds are part and parcel of Texas barbecue. They're probably part and parcel of barbecue everywhere.
Yeah, no, I agree, and it's, but it does feel like Texas has elevated that. Like even like Texas barbecue is an elevated form of barbecue, and then I think yeah, the family feuds they run deep and
They run deep. Yeah, the Schmidt family in Lockhart, and then there were the McCaskas. There's so many different McCaskas. They were really in the ascendancy back in the 90s. You don't hear about them that much anymore. It's kind of fallen by the wayside, but
I'm actually
yeah.
posting tonight or tomorrow my interview with Tim.
Are you really?
Yeah. He's and he's standing in front of a bison, a chunk of bison, and then he explains all the different cuts. And he's got the old carriage that was, I guess, in front of the restaurant and his property. And so it's a, and he kind of goes through sausage making and.
Excellent. I didn't know.
Okay, so from that was what was the reception when that magazine when that issue came out?
We weren't tracking social media back then, but I think it was very positive. I mean, I think it was immediately caught on, which is it. But for some reason, it took us 6 years before we did it again. So now we're doing it every 4 years. We're calling it the Olympics of Texas barbecue.
Oh, I didn't know it was
But
called that. Okay, that's great.
yeah, no, it was popular. People liked it, and that's when people began to say, "Oh yeah, I have that, and I keep that issue in the car." So that when I'm driving around Texas, if I'm in a small town, and I wonder where to eat, well, then I've got the barbecue issue.
They probably kept that next to their Thomas guide.
Yeah.
Which no one, if I make that reference on this, no one probably knows what a Thomas guide is. It's showing my age a little bit. Well, now, but now, did you have a top 10 or a top 5 or a number 1 on that issue?
Let me look here and see
Yeah.
what we've got because okay, so this one's called Smokin', and we've got a feature on Christ Market. We have the big three. That's what we had back then. Yeah, we had Louis Muller's, surprise, surprise. We had Christ Market, and we had Cooper's.
Oh, Coopers. Okay.
Yeah. Yes, Cooper's in Llano.
Atlanta. Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah, which is, I mean, that's the original Cooper's, and we had a lot of features on. I mean, there were places that are practically gone now, like Sonny Bryan's. But so we wrote about a bunch of these places, and we had features, but we had a top three. So that's what we did in 1997.
And then it was 5 years later, 2000. Now,
It was.
in the meantime, did you have a section in the back that had a list of restaurants per, like by city, and then were there barbecue joints in that list?
We had the dining guide,
Dining guide, yeah.
which we called our, it was part of Around the State. And I think it occasionally included barbecue joints. We didn't really make a point of doing that. I mean, if they were really well known, we'd put them in. If the reviewers decided to go, we would certainly do a review. But it wasn't something that we pursued like month in and month out.
Okay.
So we kind of saved our ammunition up, and then in May 2003,
Okay.
we did this.
Is that John Full
That
Love?
is John Full of Love,
Ah,
and
that's a
he
great
was,
photo.
yeah, no, this is John A. Full of Love of Smitty's Market in Lockhart, and so that was after the big split when Kreitz Market divided itself in half, and Smitty's was born in the old location, and then the people who kept Kreitz moved out to the highway and built a big new
Did
building.
they, so that was built, that wasn't there, that wasn't existing at the time, that giant
No, not
location.
to my knowledge.
Okay. And so that, so then in that issue, do you remember the build up towards that issue? Was that something, was that a year, like 6 months before you guys did the whole road trip thing again where everyone went out?
Yeah, we had We had a big road trip, and I'm looking here to see how many people were involved. So I'm seeing many more names. Now, for this one, to go back to your original question, we had the top five. So we had Coopers in Mason,
Oh.
which really did not sit well with the Coopers people in Llano. We had Kreutz Market in Lockhart. We had Louis Muller again in Taylor. We had City Market in Luling.
Oh, City Market, huh?
City Market. And then we had Smitty's Market in Lockhart.
Oh.
So this was in the heyday of Lockhart, as
Yeah, so Lockhart centric.
it was very Lockhart centric. Yeah, and I think Lockhart centric was that was the pattern for so many years. And we sent a bunch of people out on the road for this one. I'm looking at the bylines here. Everybody who wrote a review got a byline, and it looks to me we had to have at least 10, and we might have had. I mean, I won't go into it and bore you with all the details, but we rallied the troops for
Okay.
this. Oh, and actually. And this is the one where we had the famous, let me hold it up.
Okay.
We had a sidebar on the various cuts of barbecue. It's called Cuts Above, with photographs by Dan Winter, who is a very well-known, let's see if
Oh,
we
that
can
is
see.
great. Yeah, I could see that. That's fantastic.
That is, and I'll turn over so you can see the next spread. It's set up like butterflies pinned in a box. Can you see that?
Oh, that is phenomenal. That is so
Yeah.
cool.
No, this was famous. People loved this spread, or they hated it. They either thought it was hilarious, or they thought it was disgusting. And I think hilarious won.
Yeah.
It goes on and on, and it's like, and we have here,
It's
we even have
clever. Oh, that is.
kinds of white bread, and then all of these, chemical vials of salt.
How clever is that? That's amazing.
It was very clever.
Do they have the old negatives for those? I wonder somewhere.
You would have to ask Dan Winters, the photographer,
Okay.
who is still active as far as I know, and I'm sure he
How
does.
great. I would love to purchase some of those for how great would those be framed? That would look
Right? Oh,
amazing.
that'd be great. That would really that you of all people
I know.
You should have a blow up of that on your wall.
I should, of course. No, without a doubt. No, and is that issue? That's the you guys don't sell back issues to that extent, right?
We do sell back issues now. Whether May 2003 is available anymore, that's a good
I
question.
could do an eBay search, maybe someone maybe has that. Or...
You could ask. You could email our people here.
Okay.
Just go online. Go onto the site,
Okay.
and see if we have one. It's possible.
It's just
And
beautiful. That's history. That's I. This what you. I, speaking to you is an honor, and I love talking to you. But this showing that's the texture is amazing. And that's sort of what differentiates this from a podcast. I'm turning a number of these into podcasts, but the visual is what I think I love, and I hope people will love this. This is something that if you love barbecue, this is the history of what's important with why Texas Monthly is important, and why also the Texas Monthly Top 50. Like where people might not know that this is the road that led to what they're seeing and what they purchased last year. Was it last year or the year? Last year, right?
It was 2017.
17, yeah. Everything. Every year, it's all blending. It's almost 2020 in my head. It's like it'll be in a blink of an eye. It's a...
I know it will. It goes by too fast.
So was that that was 2003 at that?
That was 2003,
Okay.
and so then we got on a 5-year schedule, and we this is June 2008.
I remember that one. That specifically, I think that's the first one that I got, that I
Yeah.
purchased. Yeah.
They the what you might think was an illustration of a barbecue sign, the art director had the sign made.
Oh,
It's a
wow.
real sign, and with real neon, it really lights up,
Okay.
and it's here in the office.
Oh, that's so
It
cool.
it's over one of the desks back in the hall where we all read, proof and have discussions,
Oh, that's
and
great.
every now and then we plug the sign in just for the heck of
That's
it.
cool. Wasn't that picture done by Leanne?
That probably, let me,
I think I
yeah,
want to
Angela.
think.
Yeah, I know, because she's a really good photographer. Let me see if I can.
I know she did a lot of the photography too. I think that's.
Yeah, but yeah, on the cover, photographed by Leanne Muller. Neon signed by Roadhouse Relics.
Roadhouse Relics. Are they still around? I wonder if they're.
I don't know. You ought to find.
It's a, this is going to become like the biggest scavenger hunt after this for me. I love researching, so this is a form of research. Oh, and so then that issue, in that issue, do you, was there a top five as well?
You know, in this issue,
I'm trying to
this
think.
is the issue. This is the issue that we declared Snow's Barbecue in Lexington,
Okay.
Texas, which nobody had ever heard of. Number one,
Okay.
that nearly destroyed Snow's because so many people—I mean, everybody—got in their car and they went out to Snow's, and they had actually, the publisher of the magazine had actually gone out and told them, you know, you people might want to get ready and, you know, have some extra briskets on hand. You know, I'm not sure what he told them, you know, double or triple up or something like that. And they sold out that day, and they sold out for like every week for months.
And it was, and they were still open on Saturdays only, right?
They still are open on Saturdays because Carrie Bexley, who is the owner, and Tootsie Tominance, who is the pit master, have day jobs. They do other things.
That's so amazing. I it is, and
This was a side, barbecue was a side gig for them.
do you remember going there the first something like before this issue came out?
You know, this is a great story. So right after the 2003 issue came out, I got a letter from somebody, and they said, there's this place in Lexington that has really good barbecue, and y'all ought to know about it. So I kept that letter for 5 years, and I mean,
Wow.
the actual physical letter in a file folder. And when we got ready to do 2008, I got out all of the, you know, all the, I mean, and I had a bunch. And we assigned them because we had a lot of people going around. And Katie Vine had this area. And so Katie couldn't go that day, so she deputized her husband George Sledge, and he and a friend went, and they went to a bunch of places on Saturday, and one of them was Snow's. Well, they were no dummies. They said, this stuff is really good. And so they thought, but we need backup on this. So they bought a part of a brisket, and they brought it home, and they had Katie taste it. And Katie said, this is fantastic, but we need somebody to verify it. So Katie called me. I was
Okay.
at a party. She called me on my cell phone, and she said, there is this great brisket here, and you need to come try it. And so I left the party and drove straight to Katie and George's house, and
That's so funny.
and they had the brisket there, which they had, like, they heated it up just a little bit in the oven, I think, or I mean, but like, they certainly didn't microwave it. So I sat down and cut a piece off the brisket and ate it. And like by that time, it was at least 5 hours old. It was fabulous. It was just great. It wasn't dried out. Like it had lots of smoke. And I mean, it was amazing. So we thought, okay, this place is great. This place is better than the places in Lockhart and Luling. But they thought, okay, if we're gonna make this place number one, then we've got to have more backup, because we didn't want to go out on a limb with the, you know, Katie and me on staff saying this was good. So we sent Sam Gwynn, and then we sent Paul Burka on two separate visits, and they both verified this, like, yes, it's great. So we made Snow's number one, and then like the rest is history.
Oh my gosh. And what was their, what was the response? Were there lines that first weekend?
The first weekend after it came out, yeah, damn near killed.
Oh man. But it's amazing. That's so that so that was the 2008 issue.
That was 2008.
2008. Oh,
Yeah, and
that's
we had bunches and bunches of people. I mean, this is where we got, I mean, I'm looking at all the initials. This is when it had been a staff-wide effort, but we really pulled in everybody, and we really, really seriously canvassed the state. I mean, I think we went to, we were going to hundreds of places. I think we went to, I could look it up for you, but it was probably at least, 300 places in order to get 50.
Okay.
So it was a huge canvassing effort.
So you probably had a top 10. Is that top 10?
Let's see, let me turn back here.
I'm trying to think of, and at that time, Franklin Barbecue was still probably a trailer, I would think, right?
I think
2008, I'm trying to think, 2009.
in 2009,
Nine.
Franklin was not,
Not
Fra
even.
I think Franklin did not exist.
You might be
And
right.
if they existed, they were, no, they didn't exist because I remember they opened that trailer,
2009?
2009, because
Okay,
I
wow.
wrote a story about them. Okay, so we've got number one, then we've got Kreitz Market and Lockhart, so that's number two. Then we've got Smitty's Market and Lockhart, so that's number three. We've got City Market and Luling, that's number five. And we've got Louis Muller in Taylor.
Okay.
So yeah, so we had a top five.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it wasn't it yeah, the top 10 did not come until, I don't think the top 10 came until this year.
I think you might be right.
So yeah. Then aha. So now the next issue is, this is June 2013. So what is this? That is Franklin Barbecue.
I remember I had to go downtown in LA to get that because to the Grove, actually, because it was you couldn't get Texas Monthly at many places.
Yeah, you went down and got a copy of this issue.
I had come back from Texas. So was that when that issue, the prior issue came out, was it starting to be, was it a bestseller? Was it like a top seller for the year? Was a
You know,
did you have
the
those?
yes, it was it yeah, Barbecue was a top seller for 2008, I feel certain. And then certainly for 2013, because this is when Aaron Franklin Aaron Franklin went from non-existent to number one.
Crazy.
Yeah, but he'd been open, he'd been open for several years and he'd really gotten his act together by then. And this is the issue where we said the 50 best barbecue joints in the world.
Aaron was already in his brick and mortar location.
No, Aaron was just in a, Aaron was in a, he was in a trailer.
Oh, still in 2013? I thought he
Oh
might
no,
have.
wait a minute. Oh no, there he is. There he is. He's in. No, he's in. He's in a building.
And I think that the year, was it the year before or 2 years before that the Aaron and John cover came out? Was that the.
Aaron and John is. Oh, that is February 2012.
2012. So at that time, Aaron had already had a brick and mortar location.
Oh, and this. So Aaron Franklin was number one. Pecan Lodge in Dallas was number two.
Oh, okay.
See, this was the beginning of the great barbecue explosion in Texas.
Okay.
I think that it wasn't just Aaron, although Aaron had a huge amount to do with that. I mean, a charismatic figure and fantastic barbecue, but the whole charcuterie movement and cured meats were really catching on everywhere, and I think barbecue was part and parcel of that.
That's true, and that's a nationwide thing that was kind of catching
And
on.
that wasn't, and that was definitely, it was a nationwide
Yeah,
thing.
not the barbecue as much as the charcuterie part, yeah.
Yeah. So then we've got Pecan Lodge,
Oh, wow.
and then we had and Snow's was, I don't know that we actually, oh, we did a top four. We're nothing if not inconsistent. So we did a top four this year. Snow's was number three. And then Louis Muller's was number four. In fact, I don't know that we ranked them, but we did have a top four.
So with that it with that issue came out in 2013, you said, right? And then and at that time were you feeling like that, but this was going to be still a 5 year every oh 4 years, was it 4 years for
You
the
know,
original?
I think that we realized that barbecue by that point had become such a, we had become so identified with Texas barbecue, and it had been such a like a franchise. I mean, something that we wanted to keep on doing. In 2013, that was the first year. Let me just double check. This was the first year that Daniel Vaughn came on as our barbecue editor. So I want to be sure.
Not, was he?
He might have just been hired.
I'm trying to think of what year. I kind of remember.
So Daniel, now here the intro by Patricia Sharp and Daniel Vaughn.
Oh, great. Okay.
So Daniel had been writing his book, and he had been all over the state with a photographer for his book, and so we had the benefit of all those places that he had been.
Okay.
That we didn't have to send somebody back to go there, Jake Silverstein, who was the editor of the magazine at the time, was a barbecue editor, and he ended up hiring Daniel at my recommendation, because I had met Daniel and I thought, yeah, this guy knows his stuff
for sure.
Yeah, and so we had a barbecue editor, and that got huge coverage in the news media. I thought just on the novelty value, because everybody, I think the New York Times and the Washington Post and everybody in the world picked up on that. It's like, wow.
And because it wasn't something that ever existed, and it was something that, it was so Texas, too.
It was so Texas. I think there had been designated barbecue writers, but this was the first full-time barbecue editor on a major magazine.
And it was a perfect, with the profits of smoked meat, it was all a perfect kind of, it all came together at once.
It wasn't the perfect storm, because that always seems negative to me, but it was everything came together at once. Yeah, it was perfect.
And then with a you had ended up having a dedicated barbecue section on TexasMonthly.com. And
yes, yeah. Well, Daniel had what did he call it? He had his own site.
Oh, full custom gospel barbecue.
Full custom gospel barbecue, and he had his own. His Twitter handle, I think, was Barbecue Snob, or that was his moniker. And
so
I mean, he was up and running. He had a gazillion Twitter followers.
Mm-hmm.
So he just kept on doing what he was doing, but he wrote it for us.
Definitely.
And he had, and that was actually a separate site that was linked to. And it was ours, but we linked to it on our page. And it wasn't later until we sort of pulled it in.
And it's just evolved. And I think that with the app, I think he was doing some stuff with the app as well, right? I think like furnish by using his reviews or using something that he, because he had traveled to so many places.
He'd been to so many places. The app also, it also pulled in, you could get, it was connected with Foursquare in some form or fashion. So that if you went to a given city, there would be more barbecue that you could eat than just the one place that Texas Monthly recommended, because we realized that wasn't enough. So
yeah, that's true.
And I think the app is, I don't believe that it's active anymore. I mean, if it is, it's,
I don't think it's, yeah, it's,
we need to, gin it up again.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that would be something at the time when I met Daniel, I had a barbecue joint search engine with about 3,500 barbecue joints from across the United States. And so I pulled it down because I've needed to update it and I haven't had any time, but I love research, and so that's kind of, I was traveling to North Carolina a lot for business. I was working in the furniture business, so I would go there, and that's kind of when I fell in love with barbecue. And then when I went to Texas, I thought, this is my barbecue. This is my true soul of barbecue. But I do still love the Carolinas. I love all that type of barbecue.
So was it because we were doing beef here, or just because we were doing that really heavy smoke, or what?
I think it was. I think it was the beef. The brisket, I grew up, I'm half Jewish, and so my mom would make brisket a lot, but it never in the fashion, that the Texas style. And I'd go to Kansas City sometimes, and so I'd have Gates or Arthur Bryant's, and so I started to, and I my dad made steak, so we were a carnivore family. With bringing on Daniel, and were you, because you weren't going just specifically during the course of a year, you weren't going to barbecue restaurants as much as you were going to other restaurants within Texas, right?
Yeah, I was going to other restaurants. I have a column that I write sort of on like the most well publicized best restaurant, you know, that's opened in the last 30 days. I've tried to do that, and so I wasn't specifically. Now we've always made barbecue on all hands on deck, short term, like, you know, couple of months, maybe 3 months, you know, get in, get them all visited, and then get out.
For sure.
So, yeah, that's been the way that we've always done it. And but I will say that for this last one, which was, this is June 2017, so this is, that was our cover,
A
which I
golden
think
age of
was
Texas. Oh,
so clever.
so
Yes,
cool.
and it's like an old man, it's like a, you know, a replica of an old master painting, a still life with, and even has the big red in it, so it's
I
like
love that.
homage to the earlier cover, and the white bread and everything. That was when we went to every 4 years, and going to every 4 years allows us to have like after the second year, Daniel did an update on like the new great barbecue joints that have opened. So we had that in the magazine, and not as big a blowout, just you know, just him.
And Texas barbecue has changed a lot since then. Like it's amazing the number of restaurants that are in the top 10 or the top 50 that didn't even exist in the previous issue.
I know, and it's gone through the roof. I think partly because, as I say, of the whole meat movement, I think it would have happened even without Aaron. But Aaron is a superstar. I mean, he's probably, Aaron Franklin may be the best known person in Texas. I mean,
Possibly. Yeah.
I certainly think he is. If you just ask somebody from another state, like, to name the name the governor of
They
Texas,
probably get
or either senator, or yeah, no, they, no, but Aaron Franklin, totally, yeah.
And with his with his openness, his PBS series and his book, I think it's a lot of people. I've talked to people in Sweden, I talked to people in other countries, and they've purchased that book and they've watched his series to learn how to cook brisket.
Oh, they have, and we had. So I interviewed Aaron, and we did a thing on how to cook brisket. It was in 2013, and of course we put that up on our website. And we have a monitor here in the office where we can see how many people at any given time are reading any given story in Texas Monthly Online, and how to cook a brisket is always up at the
Wow,
top.
that's amazing. That's
Yeah,
incredible.
I know, incredible.
To this day, you're saying.
Yes. Now, maybe like in the last 6 months, a year ago, that
Wow.
certainly is true.
And
Yeah.
then and how what was the reception of this issue? I know that this issue it probably blew a lot of people away because there's a lot of, and then you had the connection with Yeti and the passport. Did Yeti come to you guys, or what, do you remember how the whole Yeti passport worked out, or?
No, I don't know, but I will say that one of the people who used to work here and was very involved with our barbecue festival went to work for Yeti. So I think that, you know, we had a pipeline, and it was just it was very easy and very natural for us to do a partnership with Yeti.
Were you planning on doing some sort of passport or some kind of something to incentivize people? Not that they wouldn't have the incentive already, but to go to these restaurants? Were you thinking of?
I don't really know. I sort of suspect that Yeti came up with that, you know, collaborative effort. Yeah.
It was a really neat idea, and I know that a lot of people, like there were people that went to all 50 restaurants.
Oh, there were people who went to all 50 restaurants like within 2 weeks, and were they were turning that passport in and hauling off a Yeti cooler.
So crazy. And it's interesting too. I've talked to probably eight of the top 10 in this for this last issue, and the response, the over the like how you how the same response that you when you guys told Snows and told Carrie and Tootsie, be prepared, these people, their business doubled or almost tripled. Like it was, and it was, they were sold out within a couple hours, and they had to up their pars and everything. It's pretty amazing the power of Texas Monthly.
And yeah, this particular issue, it's amazing. I don't know that maybe Daniel has talked to some of the meat purveyors to see whether they know when, if they don't know that Texas Monthly barbecue issue is out, if they can tell just by the orders
Oh, they
jumping.
probably can. I'm sure they can.
That'd be pretty funny.
So what was the first year that you guys had the Texas Monthly Barbecue Festival? Do you remember?
Oh gosh, you know what? You've got me on that. I should have boned up on that, but it's about, I think we've had it about 5 or 6 years. I believe that it may have been It may have been 2013, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. It's
It
right
might have been
around.
2012. I think I was there in 2012, and that's when I think I met you in line for someone in the booth or something. I remember. So yeah, so it might be 6 years. I'm not sure. I don't know that number. I don't know that date myself either.
Yeah,
But
no.
was that something that when were the barbecue joints receptive the first year that you had it?
They were. It was really interesting. For one thing, I think the tickets the first year were $15.
Okay.
And because our attitude, at least my attitude, was, what if we gave a party and nobody came?
Yeah.
And so, because we had no idea. So we wanted to be sure that we had a good crowd, so made the tickets, really cheap. And it was very interesting. Some of the barbecue joints, like remember Wayne Muller, who has Louie Muller's in Taylor, he totally got it. He said, it's going to cost us money to come down there and do this, and time, and people are going to, we're going to be taking our employees away from our core business, but the marketing
For
and
sure.
the exposure and the publicity are going to be worth it. So he understood. And then there were like the little places where they really had, and I won't even name them, but there were little places that didn't have that many people, and they really depended on, their business on a weekend to get them through to the next month. And they said, we just can't do this. We can't send our people away, and we can't close down,
That
and
makes
we don't
sense.
have enough people to do both.
Yeah.
It was kind of it was kind of all over the map.
And now I think it's something too where a lot of the restaurants get a chance to see each other and socialize and be, and also kind of realize how they might not see beyond what their restaurant means, but see how important barbecue is to so many people. It's amazing how many people showed, do you know how many people roughly came to the last Texas Monthly Barbecue Festival?
It's a few thousand.
2,000.
Yeah, like
Yeah.
it's like maybe 2 or 3 thousand. Yeah, it's a bunch.
I know people that come from California.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I can believe that.
Because it's an opportunity to maybe gain some knowledge or insight and see how people are, even though it's a festival, so but it's not going to the restaurant. But I think it does give people a chance to interact and make friends and get, because a lot of the people too in California and other locations that I talk to, they talk to people like people at Truth. They'll talk to Leonard at Truth, or they'll talk to Wayne, or they'll talk to Clay, and they talk to them, they'll text them and ask them, say, hey, I'm working on this fire and it's not, or the airflow is strange, and a lot of these people are they're open arms. They it's You guys have, not that you guys have completely created the community, but the community exists, and it's just, yeah, it's pretty fascinating to me.
I did interviews 1 year with people in line, and we did a little
Oh.
post on it, just to cite, how did you hear about this, and have you come more than once? And I met a family at a table. There were about maybe 8 or 10 people. They had their family reunion at the Texas Monthly Barbecue Festival, and they had been for like 2 or 3 festivals. That was what they wanted to do, and so I thought that was fantastic. And then I have met any number of people who come, and I think we've kind of banned this now, but at previous festivals, they would come with coolers that were outfitted with trays.
No.
So people were bringing coolers, and they would have them fitted with little, little trays or little dishes, and they would go to each booth, and they would get a sample, and like as many of the 50 as they could, and then they would do like these comparative taste tests to see which one they liked the best. And some people kept records, and some people, I don't know what they did. I mean, maybe they took it home and threw a party.
Yeah, they were able to. Oh, that's really interesting. I don't think people should be allowed to bring coolers.
No, I think we decided they shouldn't be allowed to bring coolers because it's really not fair. And this was not, I mean, obviously it was not just one, or we wouldn't have had to ban coolers.
That's go crazy. I kind of there's we could talk for another hour about this, but to what does barbecue Texas barbecue mean to you now, and what does How do you see the, because now it's kind of getting blended with places like Leroy and Lewis and even Valentina's, and there's like things are changed have changed a lot, but they're still the core barbecue items. But it's how what is Texas month what is Texas barbecue now? What is it?
You know, I think that, okay, so let's separate it into, I think the things that have changed the most are brisket and sides. And I mean, I think that pork ribs are pretty much the same. I think that like the basic sides are potato salad and coleslaw.
Coleslaw,
Yeah, those are going to be pretty much the same. But what I think has happened is the preferred style of smoking has changed radically, and sides are really increasing. And I think that the and I don't know who to attribute the really dark heavy bark and deep smoke to, but I think that I'd be pretty safe in saying that that Louis Muller has a lot to do with that.
For sure.
And you know, not to I don't want to leave out anybody else, but you know, if I had to pick one, I would say that Aaron, who certainly has popularized that style, I mean, he learned from all the Central Texas barbecue places. I mean, you know, he did the pilgrimage. He was very dutiful about that, and learned at the feet of the best. I mean, and you know, and John's barbecue is pretty barky and pretty spicy. But I think that a much fattier, richer, better quality meat with a serious bark or crust on the outside and a ton of smoke has become the de facto style of Texas barbecue that everybody looks at. Would you agree with that?
I would agree for sure. Without a doubt. And
Yeah.
that's what people are trying to emulate across the United States.
Yes. And that would be, I think that, you know, a few years ago we would have called that a Texas, Central Texas style. I think it's spreading. Now, I do think there are parts of the state where they're not that enamored of it, and it's like, you know, just a much more sort of kind of striking the middle ground. And I think that you get over to parts of East
Yeah,
Texas,
East Texas, I was gonna say.
and they still cut the fat off. Yeah, because I mean, for health reasons. I mean, you like. I can't really blame them, but I'll tell you, there was a I remember going to a place where, that I had been to like in 2000 and maybe 2003, and he left the fat on. I went back in 2008, and he'd slimmed down a lot, and he cut the fat off.
Well, I remember even talking offhand to Tim McKeska, and he was saying for the longest time the fat was cut off because of health reasons, because of the country as a whole was not eating fat. It was something that, and then it would be interesting at the t when you were first going to Louis Miller, whether it was were there fat were there fatty brisket was the fat still on there?
I think so.
I think so, right?
I think they might have cut some of the fat off, like if there was, I mean, well, a lot of briskets are trimmed to begin with. I mean, they don't leave on like an inch of fat.
No,
They'll
no.
trim down some, but
That's a misnomer. I think people think it's just off.
yeah, no, you don't just put the whole brisket, because for one thing, all that fat would just run on, you know, it just kind of gums up the works.
For sure.
You want to leave enough on for flavor.
Definitely. And then with and it's just, to me it's amazing too because there's a lot of chefs involved and not saying that the older barbecue guys weren't there were cooks there were chefs but there's people that have been trained are trained chefs and now they're working they're making the sausages there's an amazing variety of sausage now they're people are using pork belly they're pastrami it's fascinating.
Yeah. No, I did. Yes. And like, gosh, what is that great place in Tomball?
Oh, Tejas.
Tejas. Yes.
Oh, I want to go
Tejas
there so
has their,
badly.
oh, they've got, yes, they've got, right. They've got smoked pastrami.
And then they even do soups and it's pretty amazing. So now I wanted to I saw your article on Loro. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I think that's sort of that's like a new progression of Texas.
I think that, yes. I think Laurel is going to be huge. I mean, it is physically huge. It seats well over 200 people.
Oh, wow.
And so they're doing, they can cook when they open on April the 4th. They will be able to do 32 briskets at a time. So they are going to have a lot of brisket there, but they also have another smoker where they're going to do salmon and turkey and whatever else they want to. And I think the real big change is they're going to do tons and tons of different sides, all Asian influenced, because Aaron and Tyson Cole, as Uchi and Uchiko, are in partnership with Loro. It's Loro, in case people haven't.
I'll put a link to that for sure because I think it's, and I'll put a link to your article as well.
But yes, I think that more sides, different sides, are the direction that barbecue is going now. You see this at a lot of joints, but I think Loro is going to be watched by a lot of people, and they're going to start to emulate what they're doing.
And
Because
that
I
did, and you, have you eaten there already? Did you get a sampling?
no, the kitchen wasn't really up and running when I was there doing my interviews.
And
So
they're not going to be doing brisket. They'll be the brisket is it will be part of dishes, right? It'll be part of it. It's not going to be the standard get a half pound of brisket.
exactly. No, brisket will be part of other dishes. They're not going to do combination plates. They're not going to sell meat by the pound. It's going to be pretty much small plates. And I don't know that they're going to do brisket in a bun like you get, pork buns for Chinese. But brisket will be incorporated into something like that.
Wow, that's exciting. That's really exciting. Where is it located?
They're at 2115 South Congress. So,
Oh, South Congress. Okay.
yeah. So I said, no, I misspoke. They're at 2115 South Lamar.
Oh, South Lamar. Okay.
I take it back.
Wow.
If anybody watching this knows where Uchi is, if you just keep going south, they're way past Uchi.
Okay. Wow. And will Tyson and Aaron be there a lot? They'll at the beginning, I'd imagine they'll be there a lot.
I'm sure they'll be there a lot at the beginning, and but they both have other businesses to run.
Yeah.
And they do have, yeah, and they have an in-house pit master.
Okay.
So,
Oh, I
you
think I
know,
saw him. Is it Braun, like Braun, or is it?
It's Brant. He was with the Pit Room, and I'm blanking on his name right now, but he was with the Pit Room in Houston.
I think as I followed him on Facebook, and I think I saw him announce that he was extremely excited, and people were very supportive of that. So are there to wrap it up, are there places maybe that have popped up since the top 50 that should be on people's radar, or is it too soon? And you guys usually for the like you had said, about 3 months prior to the issue coming out is when you guys go in and start creating your lists and double visiting and things, right? Isn't that kind of how you?
It actually, it's more, no, we're kind of wrapping it up by 3 months prior to the issue
Okay,
coming
okay.
out. We might start like 9 months ahead.
Okay,
Yeah, we
okay.
start way, way, way ahead because everybody has other things to do, and a lot of people can only go out and go to barbecue joints like on the weekend,
Gotcha.
and just like 1 or 2 days at a time. So, yeah, I know we start many, many months ahead. And as far as new fabulous places that have turned up, ask Mr. Vaughn.
Okay, I see. These.
I'm sure if they have opened, he has found them.
For sure. Well, I thank you so much. This is it's long and wonderful and insightful. And is there anything else that maybe people don't know about you or that you have that's coming up or you're is it's what have I missed? That's essentially, is there anything we've missed?
No, other than take a look. We did that first look at Laurel,
Okay.
and just keep reading Texas Monthly.
Yeah. Subscribe. Because
Subscribe. That, yeah.
there's barbecue is laced throughout. It's not it's you shouldn't just get the every 4 year issue. It's
You shouldn't write. No, Daniel is writing. I don't know that it's on a regular schedule like every other month, but Daniel is writing regularly, and it's in the magazine. And of course, he's got tons of stuff on the barbecue section of our website.
Oh yeah.
Every single day, he's got something new up there, and the huge treasure trove of of all the reviews and all the interviews
Such a
that he.
wealth of, yeah, and it, to find the last Texas Monthly top 50 is there as well as, yeah, I think
It's
it's almost every day he posts something that's
almost every
newsworthy, yeah.
post something. Yeah.
So if you want to, and a lot of like the places that I've meant, the places that are in the new and up and coming, they're there. Daniel has already covered it. He's been there already. If you've just
Oh,
heard about it, Daniel's been there a week before.
Daniel, I think Daniel goes to see his cardiologist twice a year.
And I talked to him about that,
And
and he's doing okay. He's doing well.
he's good to go.
Yes, definitely. Well, thank you so much, and thank you for everything that you've given to us as barbecue lovers. It's important, and I wanted people to know too where you fit into this whole mix, because they know Daniel, of course, is the juggernaut that he is. But I think that I wanted, and I've always heard your name connected to Texas Monthly and Texas Monthly Barbecue. So I'm honored to talk to you.
Well, I'm glad that I have been behind the scenes, and I'm happy to have Daniel be the front man.
Excellent. Well, I hope to see you next time I'm in Texas, and have a great rest of your day and a nice weekend. Thank you so much.
Okay, you're very welcome.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
So when you have a dozen or so people going out to these different barbecue joints, how do you keep track and how do you keep consistent? How do you make sure that you guys are all kind of rating or scoring or listing things on the same, like how do you make sure you guys are all on the same page?
Yeah. Well, we have raised that to a fine art.
Okay.
Back, I think, in 2008, we all went over to John Muller's, the whole crew of us, and we all ate lunch together, and Joe Nick talked about what's good barbecue.
Okay.
So that was our training session. I mean, it was a good one. I mean, that was good orientation. And we had sort of just like a single page with columns on it, like so you could jot notes like quality of brisket, quality of ribs, how was the potato salad? And so we kept refining this through every through every iteration until in I think it was 2013 that we got our final form, and we definitely used it in 2017. We have this great form
Okay.
that was designed by our art department, and here I'm going to hold it up so you
Okay.
can see it. Yeah, and
Oh, that's great.
it has a space where you can jot down all of the like brisket is divided into flavor and smokiness, texture and moistness, crust quality, and fat, whether it is properly rendered or undercooked.
Okay.
And those are each one of those is rated on a 5-point scale. And then it goes all the way through. Beef ribs have their own category, pork ribs, sausage, chicken. And then on the other side, we have columns for the type of smoker, the cooking method, how long the meat is cooked, what kind of wood, the sauce, the quality of the sauce, the side dishes, the service, and the atmosphere.
Oh, that's great.
So everybody is on the same page. And everybody is supposed to fill out one of these for every place they go to. And what I should have said at the beginning is that we had this gigantic sort of seminar run by Daniel Vaughn, mainly Daniel Vaughn and me a little bit, with everybody who was going to be on Team Barbecue in the conference room. And we brought in three different kinds, maybe four, three different barbecue from three different places, like good, bad, and indifferent.
Okay.
And so everybody tasted like the bad barbecue, and Daniel talked about what was bad about it. And everybody tasted the good and then the medium, and Daniel discoursed on the whole thing, so that everybody understood what his standard was, because I mean, after all, Daniel is the gold standard
Yes, he is.
evaluating barbecue, so that we would all be doing the same thing as much as possible.
Oh,
And
that.
so that when you have, when you have a dozen or more people, that's how you get everybody to look at it the same way. And I think that's really, really
No,
important.
that's incredibly important. I would love to be a fly on the wall for that. That would have been like how interesting is that? A lot of no one, not many people would be would know what it's like to be in that border in that conference room. Now, I got a question. So, if someone say, I think I remember talking to Daniel about this, but if a restaurant was highly rated, 4.5 or up, and you guys hadn't visited, that would then you and Daniel would go back out. You would make sure that it was worth a visit, because sometimes I'm sure you might see something that's a four and you might not. You might have already been there, or it may not have been there, and you want to make sure that before it gets that type of rating, right? Because there were one. How did the ratings? I'm trying to remember. The ratings were on the top 50. It said like 4.5 or 4.25, or wasn't that something that was? Yeah.
Yeah.
So how would so? I guess my question is, how would it work if you had your team go out, you and Daniel would always go back out to these restaurants, right?
Yeah, for the ones that we thought were eligible for the top 10, because we did a top 10 this last time around. So say we had 15 that were very, very highly rated by the people who went out. Preferably, both of us would go, but sometimes that didn't work out. And so either Daniel or I would go and do another visit, which would obviously be at a completely different time, you know, totally random, and see if it was holding up and if it was consistent.
Gotcha. Okay.
And there were places that got confirmed, and there were places that fell by the wayside because,
Interesting.
you know, because we did that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, excellent. Well, thank you for this. I love that this little part was great. I it's that's something that's like a window into something, a world that many people would love to be part of, and seeing that form. That was for Curlin, I think, right? Curlin Barbecue.
Yes, and that was, and Curlin got, I think that Curlin was, yeah, they got a 4.5 on the scale of 5. Austin had so many great barbecue places that there were places that were really, really good that didn't make the cut, you know, just because you can't, you know, if you have a cutoff point, you know, there are going to be some that don't squeeze in. So any that were really good that we weren't able to put in, we apologize to them. You know, we still like you.
And they're essentially there's a large group of number of 11 restaurants, essentially.
Yes.
It's
Oh, absolutely. There are lots of number 11s.
the top
Yeah.
10. The top 10 is probably a top 20, but it's too difficult to you have to cut off somewhere, and that's how it is for anything like the Academy Awards or for anything else. You have to have a, if you're creating a list, you have to stick to it. It's tough.
Yeah, no. Somebody wins, and it doesn't mean that the one who came in right after that lost, but somebody wins.
And I know that people were, when I talked to people, they were refreshing their computers that morning or getting texts from JC or getting texts from people saying, hey, you guys made the top 10. And it was elation for people. And people, a lot of people, so I know that there was someone I was talking to. It might have been Jordan at Bodacious. I'm not, but he, I think he had to turn around, like people had to turn around and go back to their restaurant and to change because they knew that things were going to change overnight.
All hell was gonna break loose.
And I think the people that kind of have that kind of thing with Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, and or things that are on the Food Network, they're when they're a lot of barbecue restaurants I've talked to, they've tripled their business within a week.
Oh, I can only imagine. I can only imagine when they get something that's that big, a national show.
Oh yeah, for sure. And like, yeah, that's like, well, thank you again, and have a great day. I'm gonna add this for sure. Thank you so much.
Okay, you're
All
welcome.
right, take care. Bye-bye. One quick note, this was originally done as a Skype interview with video, and Pat does show a number of issues of Texas Monthly Magazine, the barbecue editions, the old ones, which are really cool. You can see those on my YouTube channel at youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints, but I didn't want to take them out of this because there's a lot of context and a lot of things that she talks about. Just beyond just showing the photos. So I think it's important to keep those in. So if you do want to check out what she is showing, you can go to my YouTube channel and check those out.